Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks for the tea, man.
Wait, can you read that?
Yeah. It's my... Wait, do I do it in an accent? Or do I do it in an accent?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Okay, I'm going to try and do it in an accent. Is my Liam Kupante?
That was actually really good.
Really?
Oh my god, that
really?
Was the best.
Really? What does that mean?
Is my Liam Kupante? Means I love tea.
Oh, is my Liam Kupante?
That was actually really good. You kind of sounded like you didn't sound like the hacky Irish accent that everybody does.
Hello, mate. No,
that's British.
Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah. Potato, potato.
Okay. No,
what's a hacky Irish accent?
Dab it a morning to ya.
Oh yeah. Blimey, no, that's still British.
That's still British. I used to have a joke where I'd be like, but I just haven't, I've ditched it. I might bring it back, but how when people do my accent, they'll always start off with an Irish, like an old hacky Irish, and then like quickly transition into a British accent, because they're like, top of the morning tea, cup of tea, isn't it? And you're like, all right, you're just mixing up all the countries here.
It's funny. So like one of my relatives, she is Scottish. She lives in Scotland, and she's like a family friend I've known since we were kids. And every time we're on the phone, we talk for like hours. And I swear to God, it's something about the accent, because towards the end, I start speaking in her accent a little bit. Or maybe it could be a me thing, because I'm like fascinated.
I don't know. Like mimicking people. I think that happens to a lot of people, especially when it comes to like funny musical accents, so like Scottish, Northern Irish.
Yeah,
I think people just can't help it. Even Nova Scotia, or no, where's that place? It's like
India.
No. People do that and they should not do that. Just don't do that one. Where's the one? It's like an American accent, but it kind of sounds Canadian, and it was where
Minnesotan.
The wood chipper.
I don't know. But Minnesotan is like Canadian, kind of, Midwestern.
Yeah, and they're like,
don't you know?
Yeah. So, you know, when you hear people like that, I'm like, ooh.
I can't help it.
I start sounding like a pigeon.
Because for me, like, I moved to Minnesota when I moved to America, and I was there for like 10 years. And I still remember the first time I came to New York, I asked a lady for directions, and she was like, wow, you have a nice accent. It's very different. And I was like, yeah, I'm from Pakistan. She goes like, nah, that's not it. It's Midwest or some shit like that. I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, well, thanks. Yeah.
I don't think I have a Midwestern accent, but I feel like I do like elongate my words more than.
But you learned, because you've only been here 10 years.
Yeah, in America, 11 now.
And where did you learn? Did you learn English in Pakistan or here?
I learned it as a second language in Pakistan, but we started when I was like in sixth grade or something like that. And then when I moved here, that's when I started speaking. So the first time I actually spoke English, you know, regularly, was when I moved to America.
Yeah. So you probably just picked up from the Midwestern English.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yep,
that makes total sense.
Because it was there. And yeah, it was weird because like at first I had a really thick accent. I still have an accent. When I'm like really sleepy, it comes out.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've never heard, I always just hear an American accent.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can't tell that it's like not American?
When you said 10 years the first time we met, I was like, wow.
Really?
I was like, you are more intelligent than everybody. Just because I feel like learning a second language is so hard. And most Irish people, we struggle with learning Irish.
Yeah.
And so then when I have friends who learn English, I'm like, wow, that's like amazing. And then I have friends who like manage to like learn the accent from whatever, like look at Natalie, she's only been here 3 years, but she learned the English off
that is true
American shows, so that she has like a perfect American accent. And I'm like, even though like it'd be totally, actually it would sound better if you didn't have an American accent.
Yeah.
You know, if she was still had her French sexy when she speaks French and Arabic, it's like
sexy and like, ooh, like nearly like, I don't know how to, it's like, it sounds powerful French. It's like, because she does, when I've heard her speak, she does a mixture of French and Arabic and it, yeah, it's like, I was like, beautiful. Wow, yeah. Oh my God, Natalie.
I haven't heard her speak anything other than English, but next time I see her, I'm like, hey, Natalie Alcar.
Yeah.
Say something in French.
Yeah, yeah. And the way her name is pronounced, because it's not meant to be like Natalie, the way people pronounce here, but it's like, how is it like? It's Natalie?
Yeah, Natalie.
Yeah.
Natalie.
Yeah. But I always feel like I want to pronounce people's names properly, but then I'm like, I don't want to sound like I'm also like slagging you. No, do you know?
Mine is Mohtasham.
Whoa.
Yeah. Try that. I think it's a T that throws people off.
I was like, you know when Americans get annoyed for other people? When I saw your name spelled wrong somewhere, I was like,
oh, yeah,
they forgot the E. That's my friend.
It is so funny how many times my name is like misspelled. I know which show you're talking about because it was misspelled everywhere the show was advertised. No,
and it was advertised it was in like big places. Yeah. So I was like, oh.
And it was different every place. So I was like, oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because my friend, who's a non-comic, she sent it to me. She texted it to me. She was like, they got your name. This is you, right? And I was like, yeah, that is me. She was like, they got the first and the last name wrong. And
oh, I
was
they like, got the I didn't even read the last. I was like looking at the first, like, they just threw away his E.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, we don't need this, you know? Yeah. But that's fine. I mean, it is weird because, like, I was talking to my dad recently and, you know, like it's so it's a big thing in, like, Pakistani / Muslim cultures where, like, names are, like, a big part of your... what do you call it? Personality.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people have like multiple names because their parents changed their names when they were kids.
Wow.
Because they weren't like, you know, acting a certain way or whatever. Like, they're like, oh, the name.
You're not the grace of God.
Yeah.
Your name changed just like little devil.
Yeah. They're like, based on your actions, I feel like little devil would be a better name for you. No, because like they do change it. Because they're like, oh, this name doesn't suit him. So we have to like change the name. And it was weird because like that happens when you're a kid. My dad called my dad and I was like, oh, you know, I moved to New York. I'm broke and it's not going as good as I thought it would. Blah, blah. He goes like, you know what you need to do? Change your name.
I swear to God. That's amazing.
He was like, stop letting people say Mo. I hate that name. My dad said that. He goes like, have them say Mohtasham.
So it's Mohtasham is your full name?
Yeah, Mohtasham, yeah.
Wow, I never heard that. I'd say most people just presume.
It's Muhammad.
Right?
Yeah. I had friends live with me for a week and they were like, hey, Muhammad, what's up? And I was like, you're at my place and you don't know my name?
You're like, just check my mail.
Yeah, what is wrong with you?
Okay.
Yeah, pick up that check. What does it say? Does it say Muhammad anywhere?
What does your name mean? What is the translation?
Carpets.
Oh, well, yeah, maybe change your name.
Yeah.
People walking all over you, literally. Yeah.
It's legitimately means carpets.
Like, what was your original name then? Did your parents? No, but your parents never changed it.
No. So they changed my last name.
Oh.
They changed it to Mohtasham. It was Mohtasham Farid. And Farid means the one. Oh. Mohtasham still means carpets.
Well,
but
they didn't
was
think
like
you were the one after a while.
Yeah, no. And then my dad changed it to Mohtasham Yaqub. And Yaqub is just his name.
Okay,
so
well, yeah.
Yeah, so just like his carpet, you know, like that's what he changed it to.
Yeah, he's like, don't let them say Mo, you're my carpet
So just say Mo to Sean. Even right now, he's like, I was like, okay, what do you want them to like, what do you want me to change it to? He goes, I changed it to Mohtasham Rai. Like still, Mohtasham, he's adamant about. It's the last
like,
part. I was like, Yaqub was never the problem. You understand that, right?
I love that. I don't know. We don't. Ugh, I feel like in Ireland it's more when names are like special for the most part is more like who it's related to, but I never really thought about what they mean. I know Katie translates to pure, but even then it's like not Katie. Katie's like a made up, you know, it's like they're like Kate or Kathleen or even in Irish there's no Irish for Katie, it's like the Irish for Kate or again Kathleen or Catherine. But it says Katie on my birth cert, and Irish Americans are Irish from like the famine, let's say. So they've held on to a lot of those traditions and are definitely more into a lot of Irish culture than some. I grew up outside the city, so it was more like kind of modern, let's say.
Okay.
So every time an Irish American meets me, they'll be like, what's your name? And I'm like, Katie. And they're like, well, what's your real name? And I'm like, Katie. And they're like, but what's your name on your birth cert? And I'm like, Katie.
Yeah. It's like, where are you from? America. Nah, but where are you from? Like Minnesota.
It's funny because like, you know, for you, you're like, oh, you're Minnesota or whatever. But Americans will always say to me, so you're from Ireland originally. And I'm like, not
originally. I just am. I'm never going to not be from Ireland. Yeah, what if that's so weird? Yeah. I get so originally. True. And if I were to be like, I'm from New York, that would sound insane. Why did I just start saying I'm not from New York?
Like when people ask me where you're from, I say Pakistan.
Yeah.
Like, because I am, you know.
I'm proud of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I get it, like, for people who were born here, because I wasn't born in America. So I get it for people who were born here. They're like, oh, no, yeah, I am from, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
New York or San Francisco. And but my parents are from whatever.
And that's the thing, like, coming back to the accents, that's like, you know, people always do. I was just talking about this the other day, trying to explain it to someone, but people would always do Irish accents, and it's, like, silly and whatever. And we just laugh, and that's fine. But someone was asking me about it. They were like, oh, how come it's okay? And I was like, because when... it's not used to oppress Irish people. Whereas, like, I feel like for people here, people do the accent to mimic them. I make them feel not American. Whereas I am Irish.
Yeah, so, yeah, true.
I mean, you know, you're doing a bad job and you're just embarrassing yourself with your bad interpretation of an accent. Yeah. But I feel like for people here, it's been used to, like, make them feel different for, like, other races and stuff like that, other nationalities.
And I feel like with accents, it's, like, really weird. Because I made this a point, like, before I started doing stand-up, I made this a point. I was like, I'm never going to do an Indian/Pakistani accent on stage, because the reason is, even to this day, when I hear it on stage, it's always used in a derogatory term, where people are laughing at the accent more than the crux of the joke, or what the main baseline of the joke is, you know. And nothing irks me more than seeing a brown person do an Indian accent just to get laughs off of that.
Oh, like, I'm the same with I've seen comedians here. It's gonna be so funny, because anybody listening is probably, if they've seen this comedian, they're gonna know who I'm talking about. But I don't give a fuck. I've seen comedians here do a hacky Irish accent on stage that isn't their accent, and then do an even hackier one when they're doing an impression for it. And I know, I get it, it's for Americans, but I'm just like, it hurts my soul, because I'm like, whereas I'm trying to not misrepresent my people, but I need to dumb down my accent on stage so that I'm understood and the jokes are heard. I don't want them laughing because I say a word weird. So I have a joke about my dad saying something about tuna, so we say tuna, but you know, my audience is mainly American. I'm gonna say tuna, you know. I have to
so they understand in what you're talking
exactly about. And I'm not gonna be like diddly eye tuna diddly eye, and then they're laughing at the fact that I said tuna weird instead of, and it just hurts my soul, because it's like, also please stop. I feel like Irish people don't want to be misrepresented in the hacky, like, top of the morning, and it's just an easy laugh too, unless you're doing it like I do it to be like, oh, when you guys do an accent of me, like, that's like, I'm pointing out that that's wrong. But when you're
just an epiphany.
There was a comedian, Mick Thomas, who's amazing. I love Mick Thomas. He's such a sweetheart. When I first, years ago, got to host when he was headlining, we were just chose differently, like Irish comics. So he was headlining as an Irish comedian. He doesn't do any like hacky Irish stuff. And then I was hosting, and they had this Irish, and I say this with like that, the peace, what's this called, peace sign bunny rabbit ears, what's it, quotation marks, and so
peace sign bunny rabbit coat.
I'm only funny because I don't know words. So they had him like a middler or a feature, and he did Irish accent, like a really hacky one, for 15 minutes, and then said, by the way, I'm not really Irish, and I just did an American accent. So 15 minutes of his act is just pretending to be like a leprechaun, and we were both like cringe and like, oh no. And he was like not a bad person, but it's like,
I know, that's like you know, like that's the stuff you do like 6 months in, you know. You go, like, people go on stage, like, either talk in their, like, a different language or do an accent, and we're like, I'm just kidding with you guys. This is how I talk.
Ugh.
Like, it's fine, you know, like, you do it when you're, like, 6 months in, maybe.
But this is a
comedy
feature, getting paid
$300. Yeah, but then when you get better at comedy, you get out of that, because you know that that's like.
Or you don't if you're this person.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, in their 50s.
Yeah.
Wait, so.
I don't know. Because, like, for me, it's weird, because, like, I have this relationship with the accent, but, you know, I know a lot of people who still do it, and they do it good, I guess, you know. Like, Russell Peters was the first person to do it, and he did, you know. And I feel like we should have been, like, done with that after him.
Where's Russell Peters from again?
India.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
you know,
whole
every
issue
time
with
someone says Russell
is, like,
Peters, I get mixed up with Russell Howard. I was like, why was he doing it? Ooh, I don't know.
Russell Peters, great comedian. His first special is amazing, you know. But then it's also, like... it's also like weird because I am from Pakistan, you know, we have a lot of like Desi people within the US, you know, and there will be people talking about, you know, stuff about like Pakistan and India, but they've never been there their whole life, you know, so that's also like a weird angle. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, but that's just me.
I do feel like there's a lot of people in America who are first generation, second generation, third generation. And because America is so focused on identity, they tend to...
They have to be like, oh, I have to pick this.
Yeah, like I'll see comedians on stage and they're like, yeah, because I'm Irish, and they're like so fucking American. And like sometimes it makes me nearly have an aneurysm from rolling my eyes because it's like you were saying to me how tanned I am. Yeah. And the other night, I seen
she is, by the way. Look at our legs. My legs are more Irish than that guy who middled.
But it's just like it's like a Irish stereotype. And I know there's jokes about it, and there is a lot of pale people, but there's also not pale people, and there's also not white people who are from Ireland.
Yeah.
And so, but she was doing this joke about how pale Irish are, and this is why like this, and oh, like we're so pale, and we get sunburned, and all this stuff. But I was just kind of like, yeah, we heard it before, and bitch, I'm tanned, okay? I've been wearing that factor 30.
When did you move to America?
Jesus, in November it'll be 8 years.
8 years?
Yeah.
What was the reason? Why?
Well, not real reason was like, as in like 40% of the reason, let's say, was to be an artist.
And, okay.
I had a visual art degree, so I was either Berlin or here. My cousin took me on a holiday here with her for her 21st, and I just loved it. Yeah. So I bought the visa and had to wait a year and then came. 60% of the real reason was I'd broken up with like a long-term boyfriend. Yeah, and
that always happens.
I was just like, I need a new life.
I need a new identity. Damn, it was that bad.
I mean, and he's not, I'm sure, like...
a great person. Let's put it that way.
Well, for me, you know, nice person, and we were... Yeah. I mean, he's not... I'm sure he's like grown up and stuff like that. But I mean, it was just really toxic. And it was like he didn't handle the breakup really well.
It was 8 years ago. You were like... Yeah,
I mean,
too,
I think he has like kids now and stuff. So it doesn't matter, I was just like, I just need a new, and I'd already cut out my mother a few years before that. So I was like, I need a restart. American dream.
So you came here to be an artist. So did you go to school or anything like that, or no?
I had gone to school in Ireland, and then I worked at MoMA PS1 for a while, and I fucking hated that.
Of course.
And then I just started comedy after that. So I was like 6 months in here, and I started comedy.
So you've been doing it for like almost 8 years now.
Less. It was 7 years in August. Oh, okay. So like seven years and a month. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So, but I was like pretty intense with it when I started, because I had given up art, which is a totally ridiculous thing that I'd like, you know, my dad had spent for me to go to art college, and I was like, I'm going to America. And they were all like, oh, it's really working out for her. We really didn't think.
She's
and
then, in New York. She's the in city MoMA. Of art.
Then I quit that.
Take
he's
pictures
like,
outside MoMA and send it to them. Yeah. And I'm like, one day.
And he's like, you're going to now do comedy in basements? What the fuck? But no, I was just like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to. So I was like, really, I worked really hard at it. But
What do your parents think about you doing stand-up now?
Oh, well, I don't know what my mother thinks because I don't talk to her, but my dad, and I really don't know with my stepmom either. She's just like, you do whatever you want to. She doesn't really have much opinion on whatever I do. Okay. But with my dad, he's pretty supportive of it. He's supportive of it. Like, wow. I mean, he did compliment me recently about my stand-up, which was the first like proper compliment. Yeah. And that
What did
like,
he say? Great punchline, you know.
He was like,
I didn't expect the ending, but you know, that was great. And you're like, oh my god, thank you. I feel like as comedians, the best compliment you can get is like, that was a smart joke.
Yeah,
because somebody said that to me, I would be so happy, rather than oh, that was hilarious, blah blah blah. I was like, that was a really smart, funny joke. I was like, thank you.
No, absolutely. You do. Yeah, cause sometimes I'm like, some of my stuff is so silly. It's not on the smart end. But I don't have a filter. I try not to have a filter and just have a stream of consciousness. So it's ideally, hopefully, the most ridiculous thing I can think of. So I do think mine tends to be in the realm of ridiculousness. But sometimes, but anyway, it was a crowd work thing, and I was just like, oh, yeah, it was like lucky on the night, and he was like, no, your reactions are really funny, and I was like, oh my god,
daddy,
you know, because like Irish parents are like kind of more like, yeah, good job, or you know, we're just it's more subtle. So
me and my sisters will tell each other the compliments my dad has. Oh my god, if anybody knows him and they're listening to this, don't tell him back, because he'll be like, what, no, have I not been expressing myself enough?
Yeah, no, he'll that's feel so good bad. He needs to know that.
No, don't tell
yes,
him, don't tell
he
him
does, cause dad.
He'll like say things good about my sister and then I'll tell her. Or when my boyfriend, when he met my boyfriend, he was telling his friends that he really liked him, so my sister was like, hey, dad likes Leland, he's telling. But it's like funny,
and
because
Leland was like, well, he didn't say anything to me.
Leland doesn't care, he's yeah, like he happy to be quiet.
Say
in the
hi.
No, he called him the wrong name, but
I hope not the name I call.
He was calling him Keelan, because he just, I don't know why he got it in his head, his name was Keelan. Keelan. And then it became like a joke, but then when he met him, he was like, hi, Keelan. And we were like, ah, he's joking. And he was like, well, at least I didn't call you Leland. And I was like, no, dad, his name is Leland. And he was like, oh, I'm just so confused now. Because he was like, originally it was a joke, but then he confused himself so much.
He comes back. He goes like, Katie, I love you. And this is how much. And it says like Keelan and forever. Just a tattoo.
But wait, so what about you? Did you come to do comedy? Or
no, I came here. So I moved to America 10/11 years ago, and I came here for college. Mm-hmm. I went to Minnesota because I had an uncle that lived there, and my parents were like, we're not gonna send you anywhere where we don't know people, you know. So he sent me there. I lived with my uncle for at least like a couple months, 6 months or so. And I came here for education. I wanted to be an accountant.
Wow.
As weird as that sounds, you know, I was like obsessed with it. And yeah, and then the thing is, I used to be a television actor back home in Pakistan.
Wow.
Yeah, I did acting professionally for like 6-7 years. I was on all TV shows when I was a kid.
That's so cool.
I know, it was great. I loved every second of it. It was tiring, but it was great.
Yeah.
And then my last semester in college, I forgot to take one general class. So like you have to take a general class to be able to pass, and I forgot to take that. And they were like, hey, you should take it. I was late to like enroll in it, so they're like, well, you missed an exam, but you can cover it up, you can go to this audition. It was like living in a life or whatever class. You can go to this audition, give this audition for this theater play, you know, write about the experience, how it was, and then, you know, send in the paper and I'll give you extra credit and you can pass this class. So I was like, okay. So I took the audition. I got the lead role.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, before graduating, I've done this before. Let me just do it again. So I did it. And yeah, towards the end of it, I was like, why did I ever stop?
Yeah.
You know, like I love acting. That is who I am. Because I've been acting since I was like 5 years old.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay, I need to get back into acting. So then I started Googling what acting is, you know, how to get into it. And then there's this agency called John Casablancas Scam, if anybody's hearing. And they called me. They were like, hey, we like saw your application. We would love for you to come. And I swear to God, it was like, it felt like out of a movie, that whole experience. So this guy came in, you know, just a fat guy, bald. He had like gold rings and a suit. And he came in and he had like strobe lights and fog machines and everything. And he was like telling how he can make us like big, successful artists. And he had like planted some people in the audience. Yeah. It was really clear because he was asking them like, do you want to be an actor? And the guy was like, I don't know. He goes like, if you don't show enthusiasm, get the fuck out of my class. And they like kicked that guy out.
Oh,
and he did
God.
It like a couple times. So everybody was on edge. They were like, oh, I really want to make it, you know? And then he had like one-on-one auditions. And they were like, well, if you make it, only some of you are going to make it. We'll call you tomorrow if you do. And then he called me tomorrow, like, hey, come to the office, you know, you were great. And I went in and they were like, well, you're great, we'll send you out for auditions tomorrow, but you know, you have to like pay for these classes, you have to do these classes first, it's like $4,000 or whatever. Jesus. So I was like, fuck this, you know. So then I left. I called my dad, and my dad was like, why don't you just like look up people who have done it before who look like you, you know, like Indian people. So I was like, okay. So then I Wikipedia'd Aziz Ansari. And it said started his career as a stand-up comic. So I was like, oh, maybe that's how you do it. Yeah. So then I Googled what stand-up comedy was. I Googled how you become a stand-up comedian.
I love how Google is like your best friend.
Yeah. And then I Googled how to become a stand-up comic. And there was like, well, start going to open mics. I Googled open mics near me. And Acme was near me. And I just went up, signed up. And Acme's open mic is huge. They had like 300 people there. Yeah. So my first time ever doing stand-up was in front of like 300 people.
Yeah.
No prep, no nothing. The time I searched what stand-up was and the time that, like, I decided that I want to do stand-up to the time I did it were, like, 2 hours apart.
Yeah.
I did it. I did some, like, really hacky stuff, got some laughs. So I was like, oh, I guess this is how I make it. yeah, and then I just, you know, fell in love with this art form, and, you know, yeah, it gets me to express myself, and yeah, that's how I got into stand up.
It's amazing because it does feel like faith. It does feel like it was like you, like your destiny, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is crazy. There's like so many things like other than that that have happened to me that I'm like, oh, you know, like I should like keep doing it. You know, there's just some signs that you're like, oh, okay. You know, maybe, you know.
So how long have you been doing it? 7 years
like,
as well?
No, like six maybe.
But you're great.
Thank you. Yeah,
you're super talented.
You know what? Thank you.
Yeah, baby. We just did a really fun immigrant show together. So.
Yeah, oh yeah,
it was
that's
so fun,
fun
to be in the green room and be like, "Oh my God, we're all immigrants."
Yeah, it's fun. I liked it. The crowd was great. Yeah. The place is lovely.
I got
that
such
venue is lovely. Yeah,
I got such a nice message afterwards, and I forgot to promo my like
album. Yeah.
I know I keep forgetting, and it's so annoying. This is like the perfect time to do it. Yeah. You know, like a full on whatever. But someone messaged me, and I was like, "Well, I'll tell them." And they wrote like such a nice compliment, and I was like, "Well, you know, I'd love if you could, if you want to see like a full set, I'll be recording my taping, blah blah blah." And they were like, "Oh, we actually just like flew home, but can't wait for you
and
to come to
Virginia.
Blah blah blah."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Ah, whatever." Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
No. Do you still act?
Yes. I just got back into it now. Because when I started doing stand-up, I like put like acting on the side. And then I got an acting agent now. And I've been going on auditions and stuff like that. Just trying to get back into it.
And you do it all full-time, right? You don't have a day job, do you?
I do currently, but for the time being, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's honestly like people a bit... Like my boss was like laughing about... Well, he was like, "You don't really need to work here. Because I work one day a week." And it was like... What do you think we make?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I could. Technically, yeah. I can live off comedy, but my rent is cheap as chips.
Yeah.
And because of, I can make, I could do, an odd promo thing on Instagram.
Yeah.
And that would, cover the rent. And so, yes, I can. But it's like, I want to have a house one day.
Yeah,
I'm
like, true,
I'm still going to work here one day a week unless I... Because that one day a week goes straight into savings.
Yeah.
And I make, 150 to 300 there. 300 on a good day.
Like a day? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, I'm never going to give this up unless I'm like,
yeah.
My name's in lights.
Yeah.
I want to have a kid.
When you're like,
day.
Yeah. When you're like, I don't have time for this, you know?
Yeah. And we'll see. I was nervous because 2 weeks ago, my boss is amazing, but he was like, "We might need you to stay past 7 sometimes if you start getting busier." And I was like, and I'd say my face was just like, fuck.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Can
because
I do it? No.
Like
yeah.
Shows start between 7 and 8. But then the following week when I got there, I was like, "Yeah, I've got shows tonight at 7. And he was like, "Don't worry about it. We got this." And I was like,
"Oh,
okay."
Nice.
So I think he was just kind of
a great place.
Yeah, it's the best. And he was like, "I'm going to buy loads of tickets." He hasn't done it yet, but he's
"I'm
going to buy tickets for your special. I'm going to buy loads." And I was like, "Just buy who's coming."
Yeah, yeah. I don't want empty seats.
But no. And then he stuck a bunch of posters for me, and I have to go, I'm going to drop over stickers. But
Because my boss sat me down and goes like, "So I saw you on the internet and I know you do comedy. So I assume you're going to leave us at some point."
Wait, what's your job?
I work for Amazon. And the guy was sat me down and he goes "Okay, how about you brainstorm ideas of how you can use your stand-up skills into the company?"
Wow.
And I'll just make a position for you and you can help us.
Do you do that
funny
stuff. Sentences?
yeah, just office jokes, to keep everybody
out.
Yeah,
morale. You know?
Yeah. Who are they? What
if
are they
started
called?
Doing puns, if they were sending daily puns to the office, that would push people to
depression.
To
yeah. They're is bad.
I can't even do a pun. I'm have a good day.
Yeah. If that was my job, I would just Google puns.
Yeah,
Google puns and just submit those,
I hate puns.
But what are they called? The jester? Jester, those were the people, right? That made the kings laugh.
Oh, yeah. We had in old Ireland, they were storytelling is a big thing because they would have had storytellers in the that was a job, and so someone would do so I feel Irish people are really naturally funny anyway, it's just a big part of the
is there still a class system?
I should say people from Ireland.
Yeah.
Class system? No. Yeah. Not here. Not I mean, I don't.
But for example, those people, do they have a particular surname or something like that?
Storytellers?
Yeah. Like, how are they treated nowadays? Are they like, because like I know back home, like in Indian culture or Pakistani culture in specific, they're like different families that were assigned to do that. Oh. Like we have like a, there's like an art family. Like they oh. would be the people who would produce like singers and actors and storytellers mm-hmm. and writers. And they're not regarded in a higher status. Because I come from like an upper class family.
Yeah.
And a lot of like my relatives back home in villages, when they found out, they're like, oh, he's going to start doing work that that family does. You know, like yeah. it's like, yeah, it's considered it's that classist still.
No, it's like really weird. Yeah. We don't like have like traditional storytellers anymore. It would have yeah. been I think it would have been passed down from family. I think that I know that yeah. other things like healing things are passed down a family. So there's yep. like a wart person and they still exist in
yeah.
Longford, where my family live now. And you can go and the lady says a prayer for you and she just needs to know your last name. And I'm telling you, when I was younger, I had a wart in my hand and it fucking worked.
Really?
Fucking worked. And then there's another...
But that's so specific, just for warts.
I know, which it. We all know is now like a form of like HPV or something. Yeah, yeah, she's yeah. like curing... I don't know, but it did work because I remember I had it on my... I had like a bunch on my hand and I was only like... 6 or 7 and we tried the freezing thing, a bunch of things, and my dad wow. was like, do you know what, like next time
let's
you come
go
down,
to the wart lady.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it's called. It's called the wart lady. And then there's a guy in the town with a cure for burns and apparently he like licks a lizard, but I no. don't know how.
Yeah,
but they've been get those like cures get passed down.
So do the wart lady, do they give you something or do you just like blow on it, or they're like, just tell me your name,
just
I'll pray
your
for you.
Your full name, so like Katie Murren Boyle is my full name.
Yeah.
And you pay, at the time it was £5, so I yeah. just paid that and that was it. Went away within like a few days. I remember being wow. like, wow, magic is real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have a similar thing back home. We have like kind of like, you can call it like priests or per se, you know, they'll ask your name, your date of birth, and they'll like go through like these like stars and stuff like that, and then they'll pray for you, or they will tell you like, you know, hey, this was a good move, this wasn't a good move. In India that happens, like people look at your birth chart mm-hmm. and tell you like exactly like, okay, change your name, yeah, you should marry this person because that's wow. a good fit, if you don't, you know. Yeah, so like our culture, like people don't realize Indian culture is a really old and an extremely rich culture.
Yeah,
yeah, there's like so many things. Yeah,
that so like wait, so this so is me being ignorant. Indian culture is different to Pakistani culture?
It's the same, because India and Pakistan were the same country up until 1947.
Yeah,
like Joe Biden is older than Pakistan. Like wow. Yeah, yeah, that's how you need to know how new of a country it is.
I knew it was like new, but I guess I never thought about yeah, what was the culture before.
Yep, that's how new it is. Wow. Like when Joe Biden was born, British were still ruling India. Jesus, like that's yeah. how, either that's how old he is or that's how young Pakistan is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like Indian culture is our culture.
Yeah.
But then within India also, because it's like a couple billion people, there are like different like cultural, you know, yeah. like subsections, you know. Like I'm Punjabi, so like I come from like the Punjab culture, you know, the people with the turbans, like Sikhs.
Yeah,
you know, they're also Punjabi, like that's their religion, but culturally they are Punjabi.
Yeah,
like I speak the same language as them, our food, our clothing and everything is the same as them. Obviously the religious belief is different, but everything else is the same.
Yeah. Okay,
so I connect with that culture more yeah. than anything else.
So you'd be Muslim Punjabi.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but we're like the warrior class, you know.
The class thing is interesting because Irish people can message me and correct me yeah. if you want, but I don't feel like I ever really saw classes yeah. until I came to America.
Really?
Yeah, because it's very evident because I worked in Greenwich for a while and that's like yeah. the real upper class.
But over here, it's like more based off of money.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Whereas in Ireland, there is definitely different classes. And you can kind of tell by people's accents. So let's say if you're living in Dublin, yeah, you'll hear like a D4, which kind of sounds nearly British accent. Really? Sorry if I'm offending anybody right now. But it's like very posh. Yeah. And it's like, oh, you've obviously gone to this certain school. Your parents obviously have money. And then the different accents, like my accent is kind of like an in-between, like slightly country sometimes, but slightly Dublin because I lived on the outskirts. Yeah. So like in the place where people who worked in Dublin but couldn't afford to live in Dublin, so uh-huh. it's definitely like a there, but yeah, I don't know, it's I've never really saw as rich people as I did here. Like it's a
yeah.
it's a totally different ball game. I just yeah. don't know if you can be that rich in Ireland.
Yeah, I feel like in America it's about money. Like you can be from any background with any last name, but once you have a lot of money, you are, you know, yeah. It might, like, even like people like to like divide everybody based off of race, but once you have enough net worth, doesn't matter what even the color of your skin is, you're rich, you will be treated as that. And I realized that the first time I ever flew business class, like internationally, that's when I realized, I was like, there's a different world when you are a rich, and that's the world I would like to be in.
Well, that's, you know? Why I feel like, so America, that idea that anybody can get rich and get out of
there, true.
it stops them, people kind of being like, actually, we should have free healthcare, we should have like free access to education, because the whole thing is like, well, maybe I'll invent a toothbrush that can, you can also scratch your arse with, and it's self-cleaning, I'm gonna be famous.
I think, but that is the biggest appeal for this country. You know,
it's for like immigrants.
It's like made by the people, and you can be, like I said, you can be anybody and make it. Like the guy who owns, I think it's the Panthers, I believe, Carolina Panthers. He's like a Pakistani guy. I believe that's the right NFL team. Yeah, he's a Pakistani guy. He came to America as a student. His first job was working $4 an hour washing dishes at a restaurant. Yeah. And now his net worth is like $14 billion or something. Something crazy like that. So, you know, the immigrant dream is, or the American dream is like a reality, you know. Yeah. And if you really can... You know, if you really try, you can make it, you know, here. There are, like, no limits. Because I, in Pakistan especially, you know, because I can only talk about that country because I'm from there. Like, over there, you know, you need to know people, or you need to come from a family to be able to access things and make it rather easier than somebody with no name.
Yeah, I think it might be the same in Ireland, too. Like, I just don't think you can be as rich as the rich here. I do think you could go to college, get a good job, and have, like, a nice house and, like, a nice place in Dublin. But I do think, like, there's a lot of, like, who knows who, who's related to who. Because it's such a small country. So, like, in the entertainment business, sometimes 100%. It can really help. If, like, 100%. And that can even help with the guards sometime, you know, like, the police. Like, there's a lot of these, like... It's such a small country sometimes, so like knowing people can and having connections. But again, look, working hard, and you know, if you get, you know, like, I mean, the thing in Ireland is anybody can really go to college because it's set up so well. And anybody, if something happens, I feel like there's a good infrastructure for if you get sick and the healthcare. Yeah. So you can have a really nice life in Ireland, and a nice, like, your family can be set up. Whereas here, I feel like, you can... hopefully one day be a millionaire, but fuck me, you could really die trying, you know?
Because I feel like the concept of like a good life is very different. Because here, you know, when you think about like a successful life or a good life, the concept is having like a big house, having like cars, having like luxury in life. I feel like in some countries, especially European countries, having a good life is like having good kids, a strong family connection, you know. Like, I'm a romantic, you know, and most of my favorite movies, I feel like, are like romantic movies where there is some sort of like British people involved, like including Ireland. I don't know. Yeah. Have you seen that movie Leap Year?
British.
I know. We talked about this before. Have you seen that movie Leap Year?
Yeah. I thought that was a great movie.
Yeah. One of my favorite movies.
It's so cute.
You know? Yeah. But like,
the guy is so funny in it too. He's like, all right, whatever. He's such an Irishman.
Really?
Yeah. He's perfect. Like, where he's like, all right, go on and have your strop. I'm just going to wait over here. And she's like storming off into the field.
But even if you like see that movie, have you seen that movie? Why am I forgetting the About Time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. No, you're right.
That's literally one of my favorite movies.
I love some of the British shows, and I have a whole joke about it, but I do really like British shows, I think. And I love some of their movies are just, About Time is, and that's an Irish guy.
Yeah.
Donald
there
Gason,
you go. Okay, perfect. So like that right there. You know, even like if you pick up any Bollywood movie, the whole idea is, you know, like, oh, like success is like falling in love with the perfect girl, you know, blah, blah. Over here, like, let's say Wolf of Wall Street, that's about like getting money, sticking it to the man, and then just making it. Or like it'll be a movie about a sports team just having success and you're just winning. So, you know,
that's
like,
so true.
Yeah. So like, I feel like that's why, you know, the mentality of people like correlating success to like certain things is very different. That's why, you know, those societies are more like community based, and over here it's a lot of like individualistic and individual based, you know.
And I hate that. Like I was saying to my sisters, I feel very lucky that my dad remarried, had a bunch of kids, because I just have like a constant friend group, you know, with them, which is so nice, and I'll have that forever. And that kind of like we have, you know, we'll always have like a great relationship, let's say, because there's something with family where, you know, your banter, your humor is similar. You're like, you could even get mad at each other for a second. We're just a family, it'd be fine. Or you could be like, hey, what the fuck's going on here? And you're like, oh, sorry, I just gotta know. You know what I mean? It's different. Like, your friend's not gonna get offended. But I love that. And I love like relationships and love and all of that. And I think about that's for me what would be success, like having a good family one day, having a good relationship with my current family. You know, I obviously don't speak to my mother, but that's because it was affecting my mental health. I feel very lucky that I have like my cousin,
a good support system in your life.
But then I look at like when I was living in Greenwich, or just visiting Greenwich, you know, I was looking at some of the houses, and my cousin brought me to some of their friends' houses, and I was like, this would give me so much anxiety. This house is too big, because I would feel so guilty having someone to clean it. Like even my grandmother, when we like, I remember like they got her like someone to clean the house, but she was cleaning the house before the cleaner would come because she'd be too embarrassed. And so like that's like, whereas this apartment is like, I never want to have a massive house.
So,
like, you know, I want a house that everything fits right and it looks nice. And but I mean, the idea of a mansion, or the idea of like like if I ever make it, I'm gonna be like giving money to my dad, like, here, we want to, you want to buy your, like, I mean, or like investing in something that makes me feel less guilty for having the money. I know that's such an Irish Catholic thing. Oh, I'm like totally out of frame here in this.
Our house you can get it. Our house back home is kind of like a mansion, but there's like so many people living in there. That's crazy too.
But it's like, I don't know,
I still remember like growing up, like lunchtime or dinner time was with everybody.
So
my grandfather will sit in one chair, and it'll be like all me, my uncles, aunts, cousins, and we'll all have dinner together.
I love
like
that.
A Thanksgiving meal that people have here. We would do that every day. But as soon as we grew older, you know, and like people started like moving around, like even me right now, my parents are in Pakistan, my sister is in London, my brothers are in Dubai, I'm here, you know, so we're all like separate, you know, in like other places of the world. But like, it was my brother's wedding this summer, and we all got together, and that like 1 week was just amazing, you know, because we were all together all the time, you know. You kind of like reminisce. Those are some things that you miss. But I feel like living, I've been alone for the past like 10 years since I've been here, you know. I've always lived alone, sometimes with roommates, but also that's also still alone because you have your own privacy and stuff like that. That's also addicting to a certain point in your own way, because you're set in your own ways. It's hard for you to listen to other people telling you what to do. So I think that is addicting in itself too.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, my therapist always says this, like, and I think about it a lot, like, run to the self. And I've grown up with so many people around me, and that for a long time in New York, I had like so many friend groups, so multiple friends, like so many people's problems to listen to distract me from my own fucking voices in my own head, that I actually was exhausting me, and I was doing no time with my, and ever since I've been like putting in boundaries, which people get really pissed off about, by the way. And it's like, actually, I'm not a qualified therapist.
You don't want to be on the phone with me for 3 hours? Or like, no, well, kind of not.
Oh my God. I've had, and it's, I am definitely the problem, because I've had so many friendships where it gets too much, and I go, oh, I did it again, and I have to be like, sorry, this is actually too much for me, I can't. And then they get so pissed off, because it's like, well, you're not gonna be at my every beck and call, and I'm like, no. But ever since I've been like putting in those boundaries with people, it's so, my, I feel like refreshed. I'm sleeping because I'm not listening. When you listen, especially if it's like, if you're in the same job and all of their anxieties, and you're trying to give them all this positive energy, it takes away from yourself.
Yeah, that's why even like doing stand-up, it's always recommended to have friends outside of stand-up too, and spend time with them.
And that's, you know, really hard, because when you have a friend group outside of stand-up and you can't do all the things they're doing, they can't help it, but they tend to forget about you, and that's totally fine. And you're just kind of the friend that hops in and hops out, because you can't do all the weekends away. You can't do all the sessions at the weekend, and you're kind of not in on the inside jokes anymore. So you have to be very much like, okay, well, I've chose comedy, and it can be hard. It's like,
I mean, it is hard, and it's like lonely. Because we were talking about this before, you know, when you start doing comedy, you're at open mics with everybody, you know, so it feels like a community thing. But once you start going on the road, like quite a bit, you know, it's you're just by yourself.
That's why I love with Leland. Like I had him come open with me in Fairfield and it was so nice. I was like, oh, it's so good that we're in a relationship and that he doesn't have an ego about opening for me.
That's
that really helps. And then he like sets them up great for me, and even the audience at one part, because he did a joke, we both have corresponding jokes where he talks about how dogs are better and his girlfriend thinks cats are better and vice versa. But so I had to tell them, I was like, okay, I have to tell you, this is Leland, because he just did it. And they were all like, oh my god, they were like looking at him
and they loved it differently.
And it was so funny because he just has two minutes on it, I have 15 minutes on it, and I was like, wow, that is such a woman move to be like, really?
Well, I know, here you go. Here are my points. By the way,
I fucking win. But they were loving that. So it was like, really, it was a it was actually better than some of the experience I've had where I've had bring friends open, just because, I don't know. It was like nice. And I don't think, I think a lot of comedians are reluctant to be in a relationship. Because of like ego and comparing each other. But I feel like we're very lucky. So what was my point in that? You said it can be very lonely. Just getting the bus by yourself somewhere. And then like, the people you grew, you came up with get very jealous if they feel like you're doing better, which can be, there's that element of jealousy in comedy. Or, because I remember... someone was bitching about someone they used to be friends with, and they were like, they never make an effort with me anymore. And I knew that that person was just getting really successful and was just really busy. And I had to say to this person, I was like, I don't think this is about you. I just don't think they have the time right now. And I'm sure when the dust settles, you guys will have, but like, you're the one with less time now. I think it's on you to like maybe meet them at their place. Maybe like, and but I just think the person was feeling very insecure about the friend kind of having a step, gone a step ahead, you know.
I mean, that happens like pretty much in every place.
Career,
in every career. That's not just
people
like
just get specific. It could be even like Irish, like in for the Irish people, like in football, they'll like in Gaa, they'll be like, you know, there's people who understand, like, sometimes they might want to be, like, a mid play. Okay, I don't... Actually, this is the worst analogy to use because I don't know the fucking
words. Like, what is going on?
That's a terrible analogy.
See, I don't know, like, because for me, I feel like it's I've been very lucky and it's been very different because, like, even, like, not even the people I started with, like, most of my friends who are, like, ahead of me, you know? Like... I was very lucky because I was taught that, you know, they're like, they've helped me out. And it has always been like a thing for me to help other people out, you know,
exactly.
Or like maybe like started a couple of years after me with advice and with like directions and help that I can give because people did that for me, you know. So in that way, I feel like very lucky that I have always been like grateful that I was like surrounded by like, you know, nice people. And
that's,
you know,
amazing.
I hope I stay that way for a long time and everybody else stays that way a long time too, you know. But
I've had like similar experiences where people have definitely helped me out and I've helped people out too, but I have had the experience where I've helped people out and they have expected too much from me and not even like not even a fucking thank you. So that sometimes really bothers me where it's like, yeah, of course I'll do this for you, or of course I'll recommend you, or of course I'll film this for you, of course. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, they didn't even say, they didn't even give me a coffee. I was like, thank you. Whereas I'd say like, I brought Chansu to open and I did say like, you know, I've only asked for myself to headline. I don't know if they already have an opener and you might not make, you're not going to make the money it's going to cost for a fucking hotel. But, because I'll be paying out of the money that I'm making, but you'll get a contact with that comedy club and, you know, I'll try, if whatever money I get, I'll try to foot the bill for the hotel or whatever. And she was like, yeah, you know, that's great. And she had such a great time and she met the booker, and the booker was like, we'd love to have you down a host. You're an amazing host. Like, if you want to come for like a weekend, she was like, definitely, you know. And it's like, that's the door they like, I hosted there before and then I hosted for a weekend. And now a few years later, I'm getting the headline there. So, she got me like a book and wrote like a little note in it, like thank you. And I was like, oh my god. I was like, and the first time Des had me open for him, I got him like a box of chocolates and a card, and he was so funny. He was like, it's always women who do this. He was like, men don't do this. So this is
that is true. Like I mean, that could be it too, because I know I have a friend. She was visiting from London. She's a comic in London. You know, she stayed at my place.
Katie.
Yeah.
Oh my Katie God, was Katie there. Green.
And
she's
I,
the best.
Yeah, I wasn't home, and she stayed at my place. And I came back home. There was like chocolates and a card. Aww. So I was like, oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah, and that's all.
I called her back. I was like, oh, that's very sweet of you.
That's all you have to do.
Do that. Yeah.
And it can be.
Like, I don't know. I think with me it's very different because I'm like so. I consider myself religious, you know, and you know. Maybe it's the belief in me and stuff. Like I never, because I'm always like, I even if I'm like helping somebody or doing anything nice for me, it's not all, it's not about like getting anything back, because it's me just being good with God, I feel like.
Yeah, but I
like for me, like that's the main motivation than anything else.
But I also think maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because you're a man, I don't know, I do feel could like be. When I help I want to, and sometimes it's good, but certain people take way too much, where I feel like, oh, do they think I'm like, this is, you're asking way too much from me, like I can't physically, does that make sense? Where
it's like
too much,
and I get it. Yeah.
And there's no, not even a thank you, even a, and like for me, I remember saying it to my therapist, I felt very like someone had really like expected too much from me, and I was like, I've always been happy to help, but it's getting to the point where it's multiple people and it's too much or whatever, and I felt guilty for saying that, and I was like, you know what, I just would have appreciated a thank you. Or at this one person, I did something where they went and got themselves a coffee and then came back and there wasn't a coffee for me, and I felt like I'd done so much, and I was like, well, you know what, I would have loved a coffee.
I'll get you a coffee after.
No. But my point is, I was saying to my therapist, like, is that bad that I feel this way? And she was like, no, the fact that you give too much, you're like, you're not feeling like the person respects it or appreciates it. You can start to feel very underappreciated. And I know you're like, oh well, it's good with God, but it's like, I get to the point where I'm like, do they want me to also lie on the ground where there's a puddle? Do you know what I mean?
I think, have you done that test, like the love languages test?
Yeah.
The five, which one was yours?
Oh, no, I just did the attachment test.
No, but do you know the...
mine are all.
I feel like it's gifts for you and words of affirmation.
No, I don't want gifts. It's not gifts for me. For me, the only reason why I'm...
Do you like gifts?
But my point is I like it all. Okay, so if I'm in a relationship and a person gets me a gift, I'm like, yay. But I would rather... them turning up, like actions is definitely like, because Leland's not great with his words.
Yeah.
And he does always get me like a little gift when he goes away, and I really like it, but he turns up for things, or like with my sister being
so
here,
like time. Yeah,
time
is one
quality time and like actions.
No, it's physical touch.
Oh, so then quality time.
Quality time and gifts. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say gifts.
Really?
Yeah. I was just using that. No, because I was just using that as an example. Ireland, I find this is part of our culture where if someone does something really nice for you and goes out of their way for you, I would always get like someone like a little box of chocolates or a little.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a string of people that expected me to do so much where they don't even fucking ask me how I am. So yeah, like that's the thing.
Yeah, I think that's like that could be like a cultural thing too, because I know back home too, when we're like visiting someone, you have to bring something with you. It's
oh my
like
God,
you'd
always bring like when it the is, girls were coming for tea, they'll be like, let me get the biscuits or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So
it
it's
is,
just
it
a
is.
Culture shock
maybe. Yeah.
And I do that's love taking care of people too. So it's my issue. Yeah. I need to pull back if I can't physically do it.
Yeah. I think that's you'll get Americanized.
I know, but I was thinking about this the other day and I was like, this is so sad that this is making me bitter, that I have to, because I like to help, but I also need to not want to help everybody. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like that's like, whereas you're like, oh, I'm doing this and I'm being thankful for God, but I don't think you were probably doing as like I was, like every day like someone needed something and I was like, well, I gotta go, such and such needs me to help with this. I'm like, such and such needs to go over and video.
I'll give you an example. I've helped literally all of my friends move.
Lila yeah, does done the same too.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
that's like the
but
hardest
I bet you they got you like
thing.
A pizza or something, right?
No.
Okay, well then fuck your friends. Stop
no.
the shit with
no,
oh I'm happy
nice
with God
people.
No, they could
them.
Have at least did they help you with anything? I'm sure they've helped you with other stuff. It's not just you
with their love.
Oh, get the
and
fuck out of here. Yeah, well, still, is the friendship just you doing everything for them? And
you know, they're nice people. I like their company. I feel like here's what I feel like. And maybe that like turns into like relationships too. Because I feel like one thing that I had to be and I respect a lot, like you're saying, quality time, right?
Yeah.
I feel like the thing that I have.
Yeah.
That is more valuable than anything else is time, you know?
No, I'm with you so much because there was one friend who I did feel like, oh, you know, I was being like a therapist, let's say. They were calling me multiple times a week. It's all about the problems. And I get it that this is partially my fault because I love listening and giving advice, okay? Yeah, yeah. But I kept seeing like, hey, can we hang out for a coffee? And every week then it was like helping me with like certain aspects of their work, asking questions. And I was on the phone helping multiple times.
Yeah.
And then months are gone past and I was like, can we meet up for that coffee? And eventually I was like, I just want a coffee. I just want to see. Like, so for me, it was
the
like,
the theme
I was,
of this podcast is buy Katie
no,
a coffee.
No, I didn't want them to buy me the coffee. But my point is that I just wanted them to spend time with me and
yeah,
be like, I appreciate that you were on the phone every 5 seconds for me. And you know, I appreciate that you've been helping me with these certain elements of work or that you've read this big thing. And I think it's the quality time. Like, I don't want to be just a friend that's hidden away like your unpaid therapist. Like, hang out with me.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think, too, that's my thing. I don't want to be just, I want you to actually spend time with me, ask me how I am, too. But not just, an unpaid
like
therapist. Not just a...
Because you mentioned therapist. Like, when did you get your therapist?
Over a year ago?
Yeah. Like, what triggered
A year ago in October. Just, I got in a relationship with Leland, and I was like, I'm going to fucking ruin this.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you're
super
like,
I
need a
unhealthy
therapist for that? How has it been so far?
Yeah, it's great. I do see, it's funny, because there is things that I can see, like, how... Like, I know how to start an argument, if that makes sense.
So it did, you know, like, oh, did it help you? Yeah, I'm winning fights
now.
Now
I don't do that. Because I think, like, for me, I've always been with really argumentative men and really toxic men.
Yeah.
And I loved that when I look back. I know this is really unhealthy to say, but I loved it.
That's like a young girl.
Yeah, I loved a good argument. I loved a possessive guy. I loved a jealous guy. It meant that they really cared about me, which is
because you're like, I know I can change him. Yeah.
100%. I'm a fixer. That's why I fucking end up liking my friendships like this. Like, let me help. Let me fix. And then they're like,
but that's just,
and then they're like, what do you mean you're not free at 3 a.m. to come over and fucking help my cat vomit? And I'm like, what? How did I get to this point?
But I get it. I feel like that's the mistake that I was making a lot because I grew up on Bollywood and it's all about romance, right? So I was like a very romantic person. So I had a hard time like moving here and dating people. And then, you know, like most of my friends were female. So I would like ask them, you know, so I clicked. And then I feel like, you know, in my early 20s, I was somewhat a mean person. But
I know it's hard to admit and look back and be like, I dated toxic people, but I also was.
Yeah, I was toxic.
I liked it. You know, I was like, oh my God, he checked my pulse to see if I was lying. I would give me something to talk about. And it's like, bitch, read a book. Like, I don't know, watch the news.
You go home, it's like, hey, it's our anniversary. Do you want to do a lie detector test?
That's what my ex, like, I literally stayed with a guy who checked my pulse. It was insane.
Really? That's so funny.
And I mean, and I think part of me, I don't react when people are crazy around me. And I think that's where my role was. Like, I had a really high tolerance of crazy.
Yeah.
So being with Leland, it was like, well, if he's not the crazy one, am I going to be the crazy one?
Yeah.
And he's just so chill. And he was never, you know, the first few months of relationship, he's like not jealous, possessive, so fucking healthy. Like, he has his own things that we've worked on. But I was like, oh, if I want to be in this healthy relationship, I need to work out my issues because I had a lot of issues. And it was a game changer. Within the first month of just saying all the things that I was annoyed about of childhood or past relationships or friendships, it was like really eye-opening and just getting that out. And then I was like, oh, okay. So, I mean, I could see how even like me and Lena will go to have an argument and I can see how like if I say this sentence, this will like really fucking annoy him, but I won't. Because I don't want to.
You're checking yourself first.
And I think more people could do that. I get so annoyed when people do this thing, you know, like where it's, I talked about this last week with Leland, but I see it all the time how people try to guilt or manipulate or emotionally engineer to get what they want. And I fucking hate that. Say the fuck what you want. Say if you're not happy. Say if you don't want this. So like, you know, where it's like, fine, I guess I'll go to the store. I will stab you in your face. Just say, I don't want to go to the store. It's annoying. I
mean, sometimes it is hard for people to do that too, you know?
I know.
Like, I know I have a hard time saying no, you know, and it's not.
Oh, like, I have a hard time saying no too, but I won't. Yeah. I won't do this. I'll just be like, okay, I'll do it. And it might be afterwards like, oh, I got to learn to say no, but I won't make the person feel guilty. And that's what I hate. I'm saying when you guilt, and I think people do that a lot where they guilt trip or they manipulate, or you're like, hey, this is upsetting me. And, you know, I kind of think we need to work on this for a relationship. And let's say you're in a relationship and all of a sudden they're like, well, you know, like if I were to start being like, well, my mother was really mean to me as a kid. And I'm like, shh, that doesn't have anything to do with them asking you to be on time for a date. Yeah. You know, like
I just asked you which mango should I get? And you were like, well, I had mangoes once when my mom was there.
Yeah. Or if Leland were like to, let's say if he was like to be like, no, I don't want to, I can't bring down the laundry today. Like I've done it the last 3 weeks, can you bring it down? And if I were like, you know what, I just remembered it's nearly December and that's my mom's birthday. Yeah, yeah, and you're like, we're in February. And that's the shit that I think people need to go to therapy for, because I don't think they realize that, you know. The real thing in that situation could be just to be like, I don't want to either, I guess, so, you know, or just fucking do it or whatever. Yeah. But just don't, you don't always get your way, and don't try to emotionally abuse people to get your way or whatever. Yeah,
I started doing therapy like 2 years ago, probably.
Do you find it helpful?
Yeah.
Tell all the Irish listeners.
I feel like even like Indian people, we need to get on therapy, you know, because I think it's huge. It has helped me a lot, you know, but I have like an imposter syndrome. So it has like helped me. Yeah.
Maybe that was because you acted as a young kid.
Yeah, probably could be. Yeah. One day I'm like, I'm Kim Richard III. Yeah. Just like,
who am I?
Yeah.
I do that sometimes though too, where like I'll pick up people's mannerisms and then I'm like, why am I all of a sudden saying like the way I like, if I see like if someone's like says like, woo, nice, I'll all of a sudden then be like, woo nice. And then I'm like, why did what? I?
Yeah, yeah, that's not me.
That's not me. That's okay. Who am I? And then I have like an existential crisis.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, mine is always like, oh, do I like belong here? Like, you know,
you do.
Do I fit in? Yeah. You know, like, so
that's
I
just
always
being
have
young
that,
as well. How old are you?
Yeah, 29.
Yeah, I swear to God, once you hit 30, you're like, I fit in everywhere. I don't give a fuck. It's like a game changer.
Yeah. But yeah, so like, you know, like for me, it's like always like I like switched careers and started doing stand-up, which is like a very hard thing to do. Like I come from a very like comfortable life. Yeah. And from coming from a comfortable life to an uncomfortable situation, we're talking about this. I was talking to a friend about this yesterday. I was like, you know, when you're young and everything is good for you, it's really hard for you as you grow older to be happy about like, you know, minor successes. If you didn't have like a good life growing up and you get older and you have minor successes, you like feel to champion that, you know, quite a lot. Because getting exposure to all the stuff at a young age does make you numb to like, you know, the feeling of being like happy and stuff like that, you know. So that is like one thing. Yeah. I'm fine though.
Yeah, you poor little rich kid.
yeah. I'm fine.
But
now.
I, for your defense, I do feel like every success I have, I do feel like, or every nice thing, because I didn't grow up with money and I didn't grow up with nice things. So I'm like, oh, like when I get a new iPhone, it's like, oh my God, it's like the most amazing. And I saved up and I earned this money and I have it and I take care of it.
Yeah.
And I'm very selective of what I buy and I appreciate it so much. Yeah. Or, yeah, I do feel like I've overcome something from like, you know, so I get that.
For me, the biggest thing was like the exercise that my therapist makes me do is, 'cause she was like, okay, just imagine you know, just close your eyes. Imagine you as a 7-year-old self, right? You're standing there and you meet you right now.
Yeah.
Not knowing that it is you at this age. What would that 7-year-old think of this grown adult?
Yeah.
And then I like sat back and I thought about it and I was like, well, everything I wanted when I was 7 years old, I have that and more. So like, you know, that person would be like very happy, you know, like, okay, how about 20-year-old you, you know, how about like you from a year before, you know, and whatever. I was like, oh, you know, they wouldn't be happy about this one thing. They were like, all right, let's start focusing on that one thing, you know, let's start working on that and blah, blah, blah. So even like that small exercise helps me. Like what I would do is like every New Year's I will, you know, mostly because I'm doing shows, I'm like flying on my flight, I would write down like goals for that year and then I won't look at them the whole year.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, I'll revisit them. And like, I realized like this year, like everything on my goal list, I had checked all of that.
That's amazing.
You know? But I never thought about it, but it was like still at the back of my head that I was working towards, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, 100%. No, I think that's great. I think goal lists in general for what you want in a partner.
Yeah, I make a
friend.
Lot of lists.
Me too. I'm a big lister.
Pros and cons.
Yeah. Oh, once you have to start doing a pro or con though of a relationship, it's probably time to fucking get the fuck out.
But what do I like about this?
Yeah. That's time to leave. But I think as well, so for you, you know, so people will be like, oh, well, you know, why do you need to go to therapy? And, you know, I can quickly say, well, you know, I had a ick childhood or whatever.
Yeah.
But I saw an amazing, and I think that's, I saw this amazing quote and it was from a therapist and it was like, it doesn't matter what childhood you had. If you had a childhood, you probably need therapy. Yeah, yeah. Because from you, you're like, well, I was given everything. So now it's hard to know what I want.
Yeah.
And I've had another friend who had a totally different life from me, from where they were given every single opportunity, but they became so talented in so many things, it was hard to make a decision and they got really stressed out.
Yeah.
And it's like that therapy would be great for them to help kind of like not have their brain feel like there's too much choice. So it's like, even if your parents weren't shitty, good parents fuck you up.
Parents
do. I'm gonna accidentally fuck up my kid by being like, maybe there could be a thing where I'm like too understanding and they're like, fuck you, why can't you or whatever, parents who discipline, or and it's hard for parents, and you know, it's really,
yeah,
because
like
people.
They think that they're doing like whatever is right, but they don't realize sometimes that they might have left an impression on you that would like change your personality for the years going forward. Like I had this like conversation when I started doing therapy. I would like have conversations with my sister, like long conversations, and she has kids, you know. And we would talk about this, and I'll tell her that she needs to go to therapy too, because she was like, a lot of things that happened to me as a child that I was like, I would never let that happen, you know. She goes like, but I like do that sometimes without realizing, you know, what effect it's having on,
it's,
you
just
know,
learned behavior,
like my kid. And then I was like, oh, I gotta blah blah blah, blah. But
yeah, because like obviously with mine, no one should do what like one parent did. That's totally, of course, fuck that, that's shite. But my dad's amazing and he's great, but I still, there's like subtle things that he wouldn't even realize. And he's an amazing parent, but it's like, you know, when I have like serious like wee anxiety, so if we're going on a road trip, I'm like, I gotta wee 5 times before we go. And Leland was like, we can stop.
You're
and
like,
I was
no,
like,
you don't know.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. So we're like, you know, but for like every, that's like a dad thing where they're like, we gotta
go to the next thing,
and
you gotta
wee before you go. We got a long trip, and they're just like very, but and that's that's like, that's not bad. It's nothing, but it's just like funny because it's like I actually brought it up to my therapist. Like, how do I not freak out about my bladder all the time? Now that we've cured all the other stuff, can we talk about this?
Because I find it funny. I did that to my mom recently. I went to Dubai to visit like my family, and my mom was there too. And she used to do that to me as a kid. You know, every time I'd be like, "Hey, I want this," she'll like, "We'll go to the next store." And she was like shopping for some stuff, and she was like, "Hey, I think I want to buy this." And I looked at her, and I like held her hand, and I was like, we're going to get it in the next store. And I just pulled her out of it. And I looked at her, how does that feel? Tell me, how does that feel?
So even like, it could be such a minor thing. And it could be even that your parents are so amazing that you've spent your life like trying to like prove to them or look up to them.
Yeah.
So it can be any, just fucking go to therapy.
Yeah.
And try different therapists or try different things. But yeah, mental health is really important. We 100%. We should end this. What do you want people to, I'm afraid the battery's gonna go. Want people to follow?
Just follow me everywhere. It's Mo Yaqub Comedy. That's it. MoeYaqub Comedy. Comedy, in case you don't know how to spell. And that's it.
Okay, great. You don't have a podcast or anything like that?
No.
Okay, and then the video will be on Patreon. I think I'm kinda like,
that's perfect.
Yeah, okay, good. and this episode, there won't be early episodes on Patreon until after the special, but please come if you live in New York, but most of you don't. So you can just watch it afterwards and write a good comment, because you know I'm going to get all these bad male comments that I always get.
Really?
Oh my god, every video of mine is just to catch a misogynist. They don't even watch it because they're like commenting about something else. And I'm like, sorry, sir.
Yeah.
Are you in the right place?
Yeah.
They just hate
me. Like, woman can't drive, and she was like, I did not mention about anything transport related at all.
So completely. Okay. So anyway, love yous. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.